Hugh. We're glad to have you on our program again today. And we're also joined by our cousin Ryan as well, which we're great to have on the program. And Hugh, I'm going to start with, we're talking about UFOs and extraterrestrials. And of course, you were an astrophysicist, you still are, and you got into studying about UFOs, which has become a huge phenomenon among people. Some people like it, some people don't. But tell me how you got into it. Tell me how long this has been going on as well.
Well, for me, it was an accident. I had no intentions of studying UFOs. But when I was the director of observations for Vancouver's Astronomical Society, I said, let's have a booth at the Pacific National Exhibition. They put our booth right next to the Flying Saucer Club. So people would talk to them, and they'd say, hey, well, I saw this in the sky. Tell me what it is. And I'd say, it's not a UFO. What you saw was a fireball. What you saw was a planet Venus. Your eyes weren't dark adapted, or it's the chandelier effect. There's a window pane between you. And so I wasn't very popular with the people of the Flying Saucer Club. But what happened from that point onward is that I was the guy who was always fingered to handle UFO reports. When I went to the university as an undergraduate, they said, you know the night sky, you handle all these reports. That happened at every institution where I worked as an astronomer. So I wound up becoming an expert on UFOs without any intention of becoming an expert on UFOs.
Did you ever think you would get into that? I mean, was that something you ever thought of?
No. So, but after I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I began to see a connection of how I could use the UFO phenomena as a way to communicate the Christian faith. If for no other reason, you can use it to prove that it's not a materialistic world.
Right.
I mean, it's not what Buddhism says, where there's just no duality. We really do live in a dual nature where you got a spiritual realm and you got a physical realm. So when I saw that connection, I said, you know what? I'm glad I had that experience.
Yes.
Since you started getting into explaining UFO phenomenon, what's real, what's not, over the years, what would you say are a couple of instances that really stood out to you that proved there is a physicality to what is going on? For the very small percentage where it is really unexplainable, what is been the highlights for you over the years?
Well, when I first started processing these UFO reports, my response is similar to, say, the astronomer Carl Sagan. This is all nonsense. This all has physical explanation. It's either something natural, or it's a hoax, or it's secret military activity. But then I ran into people where they were basically saying, look, I've had some experiences with this. I'm now going through terrifying nightmares, and, you know, my dog got killed by the experience. Then you realize, hey, there's something else going on here. That's when I began to read the literature, because there's other physicists who spent way more time studying UFOs than I have. And I discovered that there's documented, there's over 2,000 cases where observers watched a UFO crash into the Earth. They go to the crash site, you see a crater, snow is melted. Vegetation is consistently damaged. It's like something's going on here. When you go to the crash site, no debris, no artifacts. And I was well aware from the UFO reports I studied that they do things that violate the laws of physics, which is why I first thought, hey, this can't be real. Violates the laws of physics, it can't be real. I mean, I wasn't a Christian at that time, so I didn't believe in non-physical reality. UFOs convinced me there really is something non-physical, but real. Something made that crater. Something melted the snow. Something damaged the vegetation. There's no debris. There's no artifacts. When they go through the atmosphere, no sonic boom, no heat friction. Objects moving 5,000 miles per hour, you're going to get heat friction. You're going to get sonic booms. And physical objects can't turn right-angle corners at 5,000 miles per hour. So that's when I realized, hey, we're dealing with something outside of the physical realm.
If somebody wants to see this documented, where would you point them?
I'd probably have them read the extensive literature from the French astrophysicist Jacques Vallée. Another one who spent decades studying UFO phenomena is John Keel. And so there's a number of credible physicists and astronomers who've devoted a lot of time to studying this phenomena and have documented. And what they all point out is we're not talking a few isolated incidences. I mean, there's over 20 million documented cases of people having encounters with UFOs. And that's probably the tip of the iceberg. It's probably much larger than that. Mm. But at least 20 million documented cases where you say, hey, something happened here.
Mm. Yeah, and that's not only just the last, 70, 90 years or something. You know, that's what we have documented, but the phenomena like Valet goes through all the way back throughout human history. All of our human records are filled with similar experiences.
Yeah, you can go back at least 3,000 years of written recordings of people having encounters with various kinds of UFO phenomena. Now, admittedly, when you go back 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years, it's different. Mm. They're not flying saucers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're not moving at thousands of miles per hour. Mm-hmm. But that's something else we write about in our book, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, mm-hmm. is this UFO phenomena apparently keeps pace with human technology. Mm. So even if you go back, say, 120 years ago, people were reporting UFO encounters as slow-moving dirigibles in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a blimp or like a
blimp
steerable
kind blimp. Of thing, moving slowly. World War II, there were the Foo Fighters. Moving at the speed of sound, and now their phenomena moving as fast as our fastest spaceships. Mm.
I think that's really, really interesting to have that backstory of history, because I did not care about UFOs, didn't consider aliens or this entire conversation until about 4 years ago, while some YouTube videos started circulating, and there's a former Navy commander, David Fravor, who had an experience off of the West Coast around the San Diego area. He was flying an F-18, and he was en route with another plane to practice for a training exercise. And they got pulled off their training before they got to their destination to go investigate something that was unknown, that had been appearing and reappearing for over the course of 2 weeks. And there's military video that's shown with the audio from these pilots showing a craft or a spacecraft, something that is very, very strange. And over the course of 5 minutes, these two jets were circling this object and trying to intercept with it, and it started doing very strange things, and it reacted oddly. It outmaneuvered them. They had never seen it before. And eventually there was a component to it where there was an intelligence piece where it was moving back and forth so fast that they described it as a white Tic Tac, like the candy or breath mint.
Right. Mm.
At some point they also said that they saw something down below the ocean that was creating white caps. So there was this odd reality that they were seeing, and when it started to outmaneuver them, they were very curious of what was going on. And all of a sudden, it disappeared. The closer they got, it left their sight.
Right.
Gone from their radar. And it showed up at their training exercise that they didn't know where their cap point was going to be. And it appeared on radar 60 miles away in under a minute. So it also exuded intelligence in some way of, hey, I know I'm being spotted. Two, I can outmaneuver you. Three, I know where you're headed, and I'm going to go there. And to hear the audio from these very well-trained military officials, and then to have gunner video of it, there's the very credible testimony of David Fravor saying it was actively jamming their radar on their jet. Mm-hmm. That is what kind of thrilled me at the moment, not having any other understanding of the phenomenon. And since then, even David Fravor has said, I don't care what it is, I don't care where it came from, but I would just want to fly it. There is.
But he wouldn't be able to fly it because the G-forces
wouldn't allow him to fly. Sure. But I think it's an interesting discussion because there is an emphasis currently on him. And in 2017, the New York Times released military video footage of these crafts. It was some of the best proof that we've ever seen that these things are physical. We've got people that are very trained and trusted individuals within the military, that now there is a topic of discussion for technology and saying, well, it has to exist because it's there. If we can only figure out how it's moving.
Well, there are effects, but they do violate the laws of physics.
Yes.
And so we're dealing with something outside the laws of physics, and far more common than this pilot story is people driving a car late at night, having an encounter with a UFO, and their radio goes out, or their engine stops running. So similar things, but now we're talking tens of thousands of cases.
Yeah, and I think some of the point and the through line is that it seems to me, from a person that is just new to the topic, and it's kind of sensationalized in the news at the moment, there is a need for an understanding that this is not the first type of occurrence to say that they're outmaneuvering us or they're just beyond our technological reach. It's happened throughout history and in each culture and era.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you see something turning a right angle turn at 10,000 miles per hour, you know no physical object can withstand that G-force.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But as you were saying, it's keeping up with our technology.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And there's a historical component to it, that this is not new to us.
While there are these isolated cases, close encounters of the fourth kind, where the human contactee actually has a conversation with a being that's behind the UFO phenomena, and what you see there is they keep changing their story. So just like they're keeping pace with our technology, they also keep pace with the common knowledge about astronomy. So, for example, if you go back 150 years, when people had those close encounters of the fourth kind, they were being told, we live on the backside of the moon. That's where we're from. Mm-hmm. But once the general public became aware, hey, that's not credible, they changed their story and said, we're from Venus. And people realized how hot it is on the surface of Venus. Yeah. They said, we're from Mars. Mm. The story they tell now, we're from another planetary system. Yeah. So they're keeping pace with the general public's knowledge of astronomy. They're also keeping pace with our technology.
I love Jacques Vallée even notes in Invisible College, he records in 1897, there's an instance where they say, we're from Kansas. That it even goes back past the moon to Kansas. So I got a good laugh out of that one. There's another instance he says too where it's like, we're from anywhere, and tomorrow we're going to be in Cuba. He doesn't give a date to that one, but they're pretty funny sometimes what they're saying.